So why don't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. I'll just start in the second half of verse 19. The last time I shared in Ephesians, I finished with sort of the first half of the verse. So we'll start in the second half. So Ephesians 1, verse 19, in the second half, it's talking about Christ. And it says, these are in accordance, or actually it's talking about it, the Father who raised Christ. But either way, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And as I read through that this morning, I was encouraged and challenged, I would say, I guess, in the concept, like in the first, in sort of verse 20 and 21, we see the exaltation, the authority, and the power that has been given to Christ, having completed his calling, fulfilling the work he was called to do, dying for our sins and being raised from the dead. The verses are making it really clear how exalted Christ now is. But then it says, why was he exalted? It says he's put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Now, I know Christ's authority and his dominion is multifaceted, but here very clearly it relates Christ's authority and what he's been given now, raised from the dead and exalted to the highest place, as it says he was given to the church. The church was given to him and he was given to the church, and he is now head over all things to the church. And I was just, I guess, challenged by that, encouraged by that. I mean, I think what I would say is what it was refreshing me is oftentimes we can think, and it's right to think, it's good to think about it, but we can be kind of inwardly focused and saying, like, is Christ's salvation working its way out in me? Am I growing in grace? Am I reflecting Jesus Christ to the world around me? And those are all good thoughts and important in our walk, but it's also good to have the balance of saying, do I have a similar burden for the church? Do I have the same way that Christ was given for me and died for my sins and came to transform me, that same miraculous work he also, and in some cases stated even with more, I would say, emphasis, was given for the church, that the church itself, the corporate body of Christ, is to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, is to be the fullness of Christ. So all that Christ has is to be reflected and glorified in the church. And as I pondered on that and was reflecting on that in my heart, it was good. It helped me to kind of just have a bit more of a hunger and a thirst to say, like, God, like, I want this same burden. Like, you understand, like, there's, you can read through testimonies and you can read through the life of Paul and what we see in the scriptures. You see brothers and sisters who were gripped by this and how consumed they were with serving and laying down their life for Christ's body, walking in that joy that Craig was sharing about in serving and fulfilling a role in the body. But I think some of that comes with being gripped with saying, this is Christ's body. This, as I minister to the church, as I minister to my brothers and sisters, I am ministering to Christ. I am seeing my Savior exalted, and I'm able to serve and wash his feet now. And as much as I'm blessing and serving others in the church, and I was just sort of, I guess, in my heart, a little bit challenged and kind of, I would say, gripped by that a little bit this morning, saying, yes, I want this. I want to have this same appreciation. And I want to have this understanding that Christ, that when the Heavenly Father raised Christ and gave him the authority and the dominion and the rule and a name that is above every name, he gave him to the church. Like, the exalted and raised Christ has been given to the church, and the church has been given to him. They may be one, and Christ's fullness may be fulfilled in the body. So along those lines, I just looked up a few verses that were kind of in sync with this. And some of this is just repetitive, but I think it's okay to have it reemphasized. So the first one, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, it says here, again, talking about the exaltation of Jesus Christ and his authority, it says, and the whole section's about that, but I just want to read two verses. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is head, and he is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself would come to have first place in everything. So once again, what I saw through this, it's not quite as clear, but what I was speaking to me again is just the fact that A, Christ is given to be head of the church. He is to have the authority over the church. The church is his and he is the church's. The church is to be his body and he is to become exalted through it. That Jesus Christ is to be exalted through the church. It says he has come to have first place in everything. I think it's speaking of obviously our hearts and our attitudes of believers to Christ, that he should have first place and first rank. But I also think it's speaking of the fact that the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan in the church is that Jesus Christ, just as the Heavenly Father has exalted Christ and placed him in a place above every rule and authority, that he would be exalted and glorified in his church, which is his body. So let's also turn back to Ephesians and go to chapter 4, where it says it perhaps even more clearly. In chapter 4, verse 15, it starts partway through a thought, but I'm just going to start there. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And I think this is very important. What I hear is that we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. And we've seen throughout the verses I've read that Christ has been given to the as head to the church. And what I was even just now kind of speaking in my heart is, if you had this verse in isolation, you could think that, okay, yeah, I need to be growing in Christ. And there's other verses that are very personal about our growth in Christ, about putting to death the deeds of the flesh and about the walking in faith and our personal walk. But I hear what it's talking about when it says we're to grow up, it's corporate. It is talking about each individual growing up corporately in the church. And this verse cannot be fulfilled in isolation. These two verses cannot be fulfilled in isolation. What it is talking about here is a growth into the head, a growth into Christ as a body. There is, if you say, like I think many of us can have different times in our walk, we're tempted to say, well, there's nobody else serving the Lord like the way I see I need to serve the Lord. Everybody else is half-hearted and uncommitted or different reasons the enemy lie and tell us to look down each other. So, well, if that's your attitude and you have some sort of lone wolf where you're going to do this walk on your own, you will not fulfill this verse. You will miss out. You cannot complete what God is calling us to here, because Christ is very clear here that growing up into the head, into all aspects and fulfill, being the fullness of Christ's body on the earth is a corporate growth. It says each joint. So we're all contributing. It's being fitted and held together by Christ, who is the one holding in him all things hold together. So it's all from Christ, but each part is supplying according to the proper working of each individual part. So the joints and the ligaments, all the parts are being held together by what each is supplying, not by each individual, what each one is. There's a cross working together that are allowing us to grow together. And if we have that burden, if you have a burden saying, I want to be growing in Christ, as I read through these verses, it came clear to me that the only way I'm going to be growing in Christ is if I'm also growing as part of a body. That is just as integral. And I would go, I'm going to make a statement here, and it may be too far, but it is just as much as we're called to put to death the deeds of the flesh, a verse we're all common and believe to, we are called to grow through being part of a body, through living our lives together, through fulfilling the calling and the glorification of Christ through a body coming together and fulfilling what is each's to supply. It's just as integral and it's just as much as part of the Christian experience. And what's more, it's very clear. It's how Christ is to be glorified. It's how Christ is to be glorified. It's how his fullness is to be revealed. And for us to partake of his fullness is to be doing it as a body. And I was just challenged and encouraged by that to say, you know what? I want to have more of this emphasis in my heart. I don't want to be just focused on myself and my own, even it can seem good. And there are good aspects to have a inward focus and to say, am I growing and am I walking as Christ would have me walk personally? But it's also very good to have a body focus and say, am I fulfilling my role in the body of Christ? Am I being an encouragement? Am I being knit together? Am I being further knit with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Or am I potentially letting the enemy bring little thoughts of unknitting into my head? Am I letting the enemy somehow making me look down on a brother or sister because somehow they don't see things quite the same as me? And it's okay. Like, I'm not saying you can never have a difference. And I know folks and different times, even I have been called to take a stand where there was sometimes some divisions and things that come. And it's not always against Christ's will for that to happen. But I do say we need to really be on guard against it because the enemy wants to come. He wants to bring those divisive thoughts. He wants us to look down on one another. He wants us to have those little bitternesses starting to grow because the enemy himself hates the glorification of Christ. He hates seeing Christ fulfill Christ's fullness revealed in the body of Christ. And he will work and endeavor just as he does to break up couples and marriages. He endeavors to bring division in the body of Christ because he knows that these aspects of what Christ came to do and Christ being glorified are undermined by division, by those who somehow maybe think I'm better off on my own. I can do this walk better without the body. I can do things better if I just leave behind some of the things that are bothering me and just walk on and go on my own path here and it'll be better. No, in most cases, I can say no, because we are called, Christ has been given as head of the church, and we are called to grow together. We are called to be each one contributing, being knit together and being built up in love as a body. That's the calling, and that's where the fullness of Christ is revealed. So I'm just going to share a little bit more on that thought then. So we see here at the end of, in verse 23 in chapter 1 again, it says that Christ was given to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So I think it's interesting because if we read elsewhere, you don't even have to turn there, but if we go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, I just want to read another place where Paul uses this word fullness. Oh, I wrote down the wrong verse. 119. Thank you. 119. It says that God's good pleasure, the Father's good pleasure, was for all the fullness to dwell in Christ. So this is another terminology where we understand that just as the Father's fullness dwelt in Christ, just as the Heavenly Father was fully revealed and everything of, if you want to know the Father, you can know him through Christ Jesus. Even still, it says that the church, his body, is to be the fullness of Christ. That same revelation or that same understanding of how Christ was the fullness of his Heavenly Father and how we've seen and have had the Heavenly Father revealed to us through Christ, it uses the same language here for the church, that the church is to be the fullness of Christ. And it's very easy for me to grasp the fullness of the Heavenly Father being revealed in Christ. And I'm not saying I have the full understanding, but it's not a great leap for me to say, yes, amen. The fullness of the Heavenly Father is found in Christ Jesus. And to the extent that I know Christ, I can be knowing my Heavenly Father and he's revealed to me. But it's a little more of a leap to say the fullness of Christ Jesus in the same way is revealed to his church. Because so often the church is not living up to that. So often we fall short of that it can be a bit of a stretch to say, yeah, the fullness of Christ is revealed in his church. But that's the calling. That's the calling. That's what each one of us is called to as part of the body of Christ, that the fullness of Christ Jesus would be revealed through his church. It's a high calling, but you also see then, all of a sudden you start to get a little glimpse, just as Jesus Christ revealed the fullness of the Father, to the extent that the church reveals the fullness of Jesus Christ, that will be glorious. That will be something where our Heavenly Father and Christ are greatly glorified, to the extent that the church reveals the glory of Jesus Christ and is the fullness of Jesus Christ here on this earth. And it's something we need to pray for and seek and have our own lives saying, Father, how can I be part of this? How can I be a part of the body even more so? And before, am I hindering what you're trying to do in the body? Am I hindering in my own walk? Am I allowing myself to be knit in? Am I allowing myself to pour out and be a blessing and to be knit together and building up the body in love? Am I allowing that? Do I have the right emphasis? Am I focused on selfish things? Even just to say, even lots of other things that are good, our own families, our way we serve our in our work or other things, they're good. But we don't want them to undermine the fullness of what Christ came to do, which is the knitting together and building up of the church, that the church would reveal the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that is it. That is where it is revealed. There's other things that are good. We individually can be reflection of Christ. Our homes and our families should be reflections of Christ Jesus. But according to the scripture, the fullness of Jesus Christ is revealed through his church. And all these other things, good as they are, come short of that. And that's why there is an emphasis. And that's why we can allow our hearts to be further enlightened to God's calling and emphasis, that the church would be the fullness of Christ. And that's why even in the scripture where Paul's writing, he says, those who are married should live as though they have none. Neglect your families, what? And I don't think he's calling them to people to not take care of their families, but he is saying where the emphasis is. The emphasis is in the church, that the church would be built up, that the church would be knit together, and that brothers and sisters would have this same heart in as our Heavenly Father and as the scriptures say of what God is coming to do, what Christ has been given for now, is that his fullness would be revealed and that his work would be fulfilled in his body, which is the church. So to conclude, I think let's turn to Ephesians 5. Sorry, I was right there and then I flipped away. Did somebody hand me a Kleenex? So in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that she would be holy and blameless. And you just read that and you see here, like, we know Christ gave himself up for us. And I've even heard and taken this verse very personally. And I don't think it's wrong with that to say that I want to stand before Christ without spot or wrinkle, holy and blameless. But the clearest and plainest application of the scripture is that Christ gave himself up for the church. And it is the church that he's coming back for. It is the church that he is to present to himself without any spot or wrinkle in all her glory, which is Christ's glory, without any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. This Christ gave himself up for this. Just as much as he gave himself up for each of us personally, Christ gave himself up for the church. And he is desiring to see a church that is without spot or wrinkle that comes in all his glory. And we can be assured it's coming. We can be assured that he will do this, but we want to be a part of that. We don't want to be distracted and pulled away. Cause it was interesting as I pondered on this, and I'll just maybe finish with this thought, is as I was thinking about some of these things and the church being fully glorified. I mean, we know at times. It comes through difficulties, and we know how he refines and brings it about. But at those times, all of a sudden, the desire and the things we might rely on, if persecution or other things come, all of these things get stripped away. And what matters is Christ. And what matters is holding one another together and building one another up in Christ. And I remember reading this story from The Hiding Place. Many of you have read it. And it talks about the little church that started to form inside the concentration camp dormitories. And it was interesting. There was, I know Corey Ten Boom's not an ecumenicist that says we all need to look past errors and stuff. But what came together was that those who knew Christ, whether they were of different denominations or even sometimes quite different understandings of broader principles of the gospel, came together and were unified. And Christ was glorified in that little church that formed in that concentration camp room, because each one was bringing what they had of Christ. And each one was so desperate in the difficult situations that they were in, that each one was so desperate for Christ, that whatever another had of Christ, they all drank deeply of that. They all partook deeply of what each one had of Christ, of what each joint or ligament could supply. They drank deeply and were caring for another. And there was a church there formed that was very buried and completely out of sight of the world, but brought great glory to God, because there was believers and brothers and sisters desiring Christ, seeking Christ, and seeking the good of one another, seeking to care for one another, and seeking to hold one another up in the midst of very difficult circumstances. And I hope it doesn't have to come to that for us or other things, but I do see the stripping away and the importance all of a sudden that gets, as things get stripped away, all of a sudden there's a great importance on building one another up. There's a great importance of bringing Christ to one another, of sharing and being able to be fulfilled by what another has heard and can share of Christ, and by giving what we ourselves have known of Christ, whether it be through what we share in knowledge of his scriptures, or even just through the caring and loving working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there's just a working and a ministering and a knitting together in that. And Christ is glorified, and that's what he's coming for. And that's why he has been given now for the church, that he might be glorified, and that each one of us might be growing up into that fullness together as a body.